Over the course of 6 days, God created the world and everything in it. And on the seventh day, God finished that work and took a break. And then God blessed that seventh day and made it holy because it was a day of rest. A day of rest sounds like such a nice, relaxing idea. You know, God doesn't get tired, but God chooses to take a day of rest anyways, to sit back and reflect and ponder the beauty of creation, and just enjoy it. Such a wonderful image. But to me, that image of God relaxing seems a lot more pleasant, a lot nicer than the word Sabbath feels. When I think of Sabbath, the word that what pops into my head is like a long list of rules of stuff that I'm not allowed to do. Sabbath to me feels like a stressful word, not a relaxing word. It feels like a word that's going to get me in trouble for doing something bad. Like the Sabbath is something I'm afraid that I'm going to break. But that kind of stress is totally the opposite from what the idea of Sabbath is that we actually find in Genesis. The first Sabbath is when God takes a break from the work of creating. God sets that day apart to be free from work, to take a step back, and just to reflect and appreciate all the beauty and the wonder of the universe. I think that Sabbath has gotten a bad reputation in our culture because of the legalistic ways that it's been practiced in the past. For example, the Little House on the Prairie books, if you've ever read those or watched the TV show, you might remember that Paul Ingalls was not allowed to play his fiddle on the Sabbath. That was considered breaking the Sabbath, playing his fiddle. People used to shame each other all the time for failing to practice Sabbath in the right way. And even Jesus was shamed for breaking the Sabbath because he was doing the work of healing people. So it's understandable why Sabbath has become such a negative concept in our society today, especially in the Mennonite community, where churches were traditionally very harsh about their long lists of rules of things that you weren't allowed to do on a Sunday. But this sermon series is about taking a step back from all that and rediscovering what God originally intended the Sabbath to be, which is a day of rest and a day of worship. Remembering the Sabbath day and keeping it holy is probably the hardest of the Ten Commandments to actually keep, especially because we live in such a fast-paced, 24/7 kind of society. And even if we did want to, there is just no way that we could go back to the past when the stores and businesses and sports teams were all closed on Sundays. That's just not possible. That ship has sailed. Many of us work in industries where we just simply don't have the choice to take Sunday off. So then this begs the question. If we want to be faithful to God and we want to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, how do we actually do that? What does Sabbath look like in today's world? Well, I'm not going to pretend that I have all the answers on this. I don't have this all figured out myself. It's something that I wrestle with. It's a struggle sometimes. But I do think that just because it might be hard doesn't mean that it's not important. So this morning, I'd like to invite you to join me in wrestling together with what it means to keep the Sabbath. Let's look at that. Well, first off, I think one thing that's been for me very helpful to realize is that the Hebrew understanding of Sabbath actually looked quite different from what we might think of today. For one thing, Sabbath in the Jewish world didn't actually happen on a Sunday at all. Sabbath began at sundown on Friday night and it ended sundown on Saturday night. So it was over a 24-hour period of time, but it was spread over Friday, and most of it happened on Saturday. It wasn't actually until later on that Christians began to practice Sabbath on Sunday. It's also helpful to remember that most Christians in the early church were slaves. That was their primary occupation, slavery. So they didn't have the privilege of taking a whole day off from work. That just wasn't an option for them. And they'd often have to sneak out to worship whenever and wherever they could gather. It might be the middle of the night, and it was often a secret place. So what we learn from history then is that exactly when and how Sabbath was practiced has been flexible based on the needs of the believers at that time. Jesus says that the Sabbath was made for people, not the other way around. So then maybe it's okay for Sabbath to look different today than it did in our grandparents' generation. The Sabbath is something that's intended to be life-giving for us, not something to make our lives more difficult. Now, the commandment to keep the Sabbath day holy is also given with a bit of an explanation. Keep the Sabbath day, remember it, and keep it holy because you were slaves in Egypt. This is why it's important to remember for you to keep the Sabbath. So we see there that this is a day to remind us we're not slaves. We're not just mindless units of productivity. We're made for more than that. The Sabbath day is a day to celebrate our freedom and enjoy a day of rest. So if Sabbath is supposed to be a freeing and life-giving day, how do we actually live that out in our lives? What can practicing Sabbath actually look like? Well, here are a few ideas that I've come up with. I believe that Sabbath activities are things to help us connect with God, help us to connect with ourselves, and help us to connect with other people. Sabbath activities are things that bring us rest, things that refresh us and renew us, and things that bring us joy. So basically, Sabbath activities should feel like play. It should be fun. But our activities can also lead us out of Sabbath. Our activities stop being Sabbath practices when they cause us to feel resentful, or when they feel burdensome and stressful, or when it feels like stuff that we just hate doing, like another chore. Then that stops being Sabbath practice. So basically, Sabbath activities shouldn't feel like work. The Sabbath is something that God asks us to keep holy. Now, the word holy has a lot of baggage attached to it, but basically, at its core, this is a word that means to be set apart. To be holy is to be different. The Sabbath day is supposed to be different, set apart from the other days of the week. And it's supposed to be a day when we don't do work. Now, what makes this sort of simple idea of not working kind of complicated is that work today looks so different from work in the past. Work for my great-grandparents' generation meant hoeing tobacco in the tobacco fields. I'm sure at the end of the day they were sore and stiff and tired and just needed to sit down. But work for me often involves sitting in front of a computer, reading and typing. So for my grandparents, maybe Sabbath looks different than what it does for me today. Maybe Sabbath for my grandparents meant sitting down inside and reading a book. But for me, Sabbath might mean going outside, getting some fresh air and some exercise. The point is, Sabbath involves doing something different from what you do all the other days of the week. So this means that my Sabbath and your Sabbath are probably going to look a little bit different from each other, and that's okay. Remember, Sabbath practices are intended by God to be life-giving. So they're intended to be practices that renew us and refresh us. And those practices then are going to look different because our personalities are different. So then this week, I'd like to give you a little bit of homework. If you're up for a challenge, I'd like to encourage you to prayerfully consider how you might practice Sabbath in your life. Think about it. Talk about it with your family. Maybe talk about it with your friends. And in order to help you get started on doing that, I'd like to give you a few ideas, some things I've come up with. And the point is not here to tell you what to do, okay? The point is to encourage you that practicing Sabbath really doesn't have to be all that complicated. It doesn't have to be one more task and chore on your to-do list. It's meant to be the opposite of that. It's meant to be a break from your to-do list. If some of these ideas resonate with you, give them a try. If they don't, that's okay. Come up with your own ideas. And if you'd like to share them with me, I'd be happy to hear them. Or maybe even post them on our church Facebook page so that other people can share them too and see what it is that you find life-giving. So here are some ideas. Try having coffee outside on your back deck. Or eat chocolate and watch a movie. It's one of my favorites. Bake some bread with a child. Put your cell phone on mute. Spend some time reading scripture. Play a board game. Go for a walk. Go for a swim. Take a nap. Or cook and eat a nice meal together as a family. These are just a few ideas. Your ideas will look different from this list. And these might seem simple, but what's important is to come up with your own list of Sabbath activities and then to make it a priority to enjoy them regularly in your life. Now, one thing I haven't talked about yet is that I know it can be really tough to take a whole day for your Sabbath, especially if it's a practice you're not already in the habit of. And many of us find that we end up working almost every day of the week. It can be really hard to get into a practice of taking a Sabbath. So if you feel like that's overwhelming, I understand that. Maybe just try setting a smaller goal, like, for example, taking one morning or one evening as a Sabbath, or even just a couple of hours to start with. The important thing here is to commit yourself to prioritizing a regular block of time, an intentional block of time that you can manage, and then actually doing it. Set some intentional time aside every week as you enjoy your Sabbath. And it doesn't even have to be on a Sunday. It might be a Friday morning. It might be a Tuesday night. Find what works for you and make that a time of Sabbath in your life. My family has been working on trying to make Saturdays our Sabbath. Saturdays seem to be the only day of the week that we don't have to actually get up and go somewhere or do something. Now, this doesn't always work out. Sometimes Billy or I do have to work on a Saturday. But we're trying to be more intentional and more focused about prioritizing Saturdays as a family Sabbath time. So this means that I've usually had to change the day that I do grocery shopping, and it means that we've had to change our day of doing chores. So if Billy ever says, like if I ever say to Billy, we really need to do some chores today, he can say, it's a Saturday, you just preached on Sabbath, I need to take a day of not doing chores. He can hold me accountable to that, and I think he's happy to see that. But for me, Saturday used to be a day of getting work done, getting more errands done, getting more chores done. And Sunday for me is also kind of a work day, right? I have to come to church and do a sermon sometimes or be involved here. So Sunday doesn't really feel like a Sabbath for me. It feels like a day of work. So we've decided, all right, let's make Saturday a Sabbath day and really try to live with that. So this is new for us. We've only been doing it for a couple of months. But I've already noticed it really is helping our family to start feeling a little more relaxed, a little bit less stressed out, and just really having a good time to connect with each other, have conversation with each other. It's been really positive for us. It also means that we get to spend a bit of time investing in having conversations with Natalia and just having a deeper relationship with her. So it's been really positive. And I am finding that the more we do this, the easier it becomes. Because I start to realize, okay, Saturday, I'm not going to do groceries, so that means I have to remember to do them on a Friday or wait and do them on a Monday or Tuesday. But the point is, if I make it a habit to practice Sabbath on a Saturday, then I plan around that and build that into my life. So now my family is starting to look forward to a Saturday when we can sleep in, maybe wear our pajamas around the house, maybe play some family board games. I might read a book. And the point is, we try to find activities that we enjoy and avoid doing our usual chores on our Sabbath day. And we try to make it be set apart and be different from the other days of our week. And it does seem to be making a difference. Now, there's one more important part of practicing Sabbath, and that's worshiping with other people of faith. Now, I know that it can be hard to make it to church on Sundays sometimes, but I do think it is really important to commit yourself to spending time worshiping with other people. There's something that we get from being together, praying together, worshiping together, that we just can't get when we're on our own individually. That individual time is also important and good, but when we come together, there's something different about that. As Mennonites, one of our core beliefs is actually that community is central to our lives. And one of the key ways that our faith believes we experience God is actually through our relationships with other people. And so while I do encourage you to take some time alone or just be with your family and rest, I also encourage you to make it a priority to invest some of your time in regularly worshiping with other believers. This is also an important part of practicing Sabbath. So I hope you feel a little bit encouraged this morning to know that Sabbath doesn't have to be a big, overwhelming idea. It can be as simple as spending time doing the things you love with the people that you love. The key is to making this practice a regular habit in your life. Remember, God doesn't give us Sabbath to just weigh us down with more rules and things we have to do. Practicing Sabbath is intended to be something that's life-giving and freeing, relaxing. In our super busy, super stressed out world, I think rest is something that all of us need. So let's start by entering into that rest for a few minutes right now. We're going to have 2 minutes of silence. And during that time, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to accomplish anything. You don't even have to think about anything. You can just sit and just be still and just know that God is with you right here, right now. And we'll end that time together by saying the Lord's Prayer.